and go over to our Cats Whiskers studio. Hello and welcome to the new series of Cats Whiskers. We'll be here every Sunday for the next 10 weeks in our brand new studio. I'm Judy First.
And I'm Adrian Morehouse. Hello.
Julie and I won't be doing all the work though. We're hoping to get you involved too, because in this evening's programme, we're going to ask you to be detectives. You need a paper and pencil later in the programme to jot down clues for our first Spamchester mystery.
We've also got a brand new serial.
And a birthday guest each week.
Now, thanks very much indeed for all your letters that have come in over the holidays. We've got loads of them, but we will be reading out a few each week. And we'll start off today with one here from Susan Moore in Shrewsbury. She says, "Dear Julie, I listen to Cats Whiskers. I have a rabbit. His name is Dandy, and he is white with black spots and black fur around his eyes. He has a big hutch with bars on the front. The squares are so big that the sparrows get into it and take his food." That's lovely. Thank you very much, Susan.
Well, I have a letter here from Alex Northover, who lives in Cheshire, and she's enclosed a lovely picture of herself. Anyway, "Dear Cats Whiskers, I've made a den and play Cats Whiskers in it with my brother. We have both received our membership card, badge and magazine, and are both looking forward to the next series. Well, Alex, here we are. I hope you're going to enjoy it." Well, now I've got a quick brain teaser to get you all thinking. Here we are in the new year, and what I want to know is, how many months have 30 days? That's how many months have 30 days. Now, Julie, you've got 5 seconds to work that one out.
Hang on, let me think. 30 days have September.
Time's up, Julie.
Four.
No, I'm afraid it's 11.
Why?
Well, that's because the months that have 31 days also have 30 days, so only February is the one that has less.
Oh, Adrian, that's all.
I'm sorry. Well, if you got that one right, then you must be on form. Have you got that pencil and paper ready? We're now going to listen to a mystery. A whodunit. And you have to work out who actually did it.
As you're here, there's been a burglary, and there are three suspects. We want you to work out who's guilty and why you eliminate the other two suspects. So, let's join Kitty Purwell and Dick Dogsbody in the first of our Spamchester Mysteries.
The name is Purwell, Kitty Purwell, private eye, ace detective and super sleuth for the city of Spamchester. The case of the goose pellet diamonds began in my luxury centrally heated penthouse apartment above the wet fish shop in Sludge Street. I was clearing up a bit of unfinished business with my assistant, Dick Dogsbody. Right now, Dogsbody, listen to me and listen very carefully. This is extremely important. I'm only going to ask you once, okay? Now, do you have Master Plug the plumber's son?
Yes. Yes, here you are, KP. Well done.
Thank you. And do you have Mrs. Brick the builder's wife?
Hang on. I thought I saw that card somewhere.
Get that, would you, Dogsbody?
Kitty Purwell Detective Agency. Dick Dogsbody speaking. Can I be of any assistance? Whoa. Is that so? Wow. Yeah, okay, leave it to us.
Who was that, Dogsbody?
That was Lady Olga Goosepellet. Somebody's pinched her priceless Goosepellet diamond, and she wants us to track down the thief.
Come on then, Dogsbody. What are we waiting for? To grab our vital detective's kit, magnifying glass, notepad, pencil and cheese and pickle sandwiches, we raced downstairs to our F-registration 200 horsepower custom-made tandem that was standing padlocked to the horse trough outside. Quick, quick! On the bike, Dogsbody. Not a moment to lose.
Just give me bicycle kit, son.
Next stop, Goose Pellet Hall.
My lady, Miss Purwell and her companion have arrived.
Bring them in out of the rain, Watts.
If you'd care to walk this way.
Work, I pray, look.
What?
And that butler got crinkly fingers. Just like prone, sir.
Shh, man, he'll hear you. Behave yourself.
Ah, Miss Purwell, You don't know how glad I am to see you. Simply terrible business, all this.
Don't you fret, Lady Olga. We're here now. Tell me exactly what happened while my assistant takes down some notes. Dog's body? Paper? Pencil? Get scribbling.
Righty, okay, Fern.
Gosh, what is there to tell? I retired to bed early. Could only have been asleep an hour when I heard an awful banging and crashing outside in the corridor. Got up, opened the door in my nightie.
Fully placed for a door.
Looked outside, and oh, it was ghastly. There, on the floor, was my strong box, smashed open, and my beautiful, priceless goose pellet diamond gone.
You leave it to us, your battleship. We'll find a rotter who done it.
Yes. Tell me, Lady Olga, who else is in the house at the moment?
We are very short-staffed. We have only three. There's the butler, Watt, whom you've met.
Watt, the butler? Right.
Our housemaid, Molly Muggins.
Molly Muggins?
And our chauffeur, Sydney, who appears to be missing. The Rose hasn't been returned to the garage this evening.
Missing Sid?
Right then. First things first. Magnifying glass out, dog's body. We've got some serious snooping to do.
Well, I've looked all round the smashed strongbox, K.P. Can't find a thing. Not a footprint. Not a fingerprint, not a sausage.
You did look under the strongbox, didn't you?
Under it?
Leave no stone unturned, old chap. That's my motto. Now, lift.
What is it?
Bubblegum wrapper.
Oh, is that all? No clues there, Caper.
Something else. Over here.
The window's been smashed. That must be how the thief got in.
The window's smashed all right, but most of the broken glass is on the outside. I think it's time we interviewed the staff. We'll start with the butler.
Old prune fingers.
Dog's body.
Mr. Watt. Sorry, Caper.
Mr. Watt. What exactly were you doing between 8 and 9 o'clock this evening?
If you must know, I was having a bath.
I had one of those once.
And you were in the bath for a whole hour, were you, Mr. Watt?
Indeed, madam. A butler must always look his very best. Clean hair, clean nails, a well-scrubbed neck, all requirements in my line of work.
I see.
The first I knew of the robbery was when I heard Lady Olga calling for help. Just after 9 it was. There's nothing to tell you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Watt. You may go. We'll see Molly Muggins, the housemaid, next.
You want to see me, miss?
Now, Molly. No need to be nervous. Sit down, that's it. Just tell Miss Purwell exactly what you were doing between 8 and 9 o'clock tonight.
Oh, well, at 7:30 went to the cinema. The film didn't finish till 10:30. I came home and... oh... there was such a to-do going on. Oh, the thought of it. A burglar. Well, it's horrible, ain't it?
You went alone to the cinema, did you, Miss Muggins?
That's right, miss.
And what film did you see?
Oh, it was lovely. It was a Walt Disney one. Dumbo, it was called.
I've been meaning to see that for ages.
You should go, Dog's Body. It's excellent. I particularly like Dumbo's little friend. Jiminy Cricket, his name is. He's very amusing, isn't he, Miss Muggins?
Oh, Jiminy Cricket, yeah. Oh, yeah, brilliant, yeah. He's the best one in the film, definitely.
Can't wait to go.
Well, that's all for now, Miss Muggins.
Oh, all right.
If you would just wait in the next room with Mr. Watt.
Right.
Miss Purwell, Sydney has arrived.
Oh, sorry to be late, your ladyship.
I should think so, Sydney. Good gracious, look at the state of you. Hands covered in oil, uniform splattered in mud... I do hope you wiped your feet before coming in.
Ever so sorry, your ladyship.
What exactly have you been doing?
Had a puncture up the road. Got out in all this rain. Changed the wheel. Took over an hour. I'm whacked.
So you know nothing about the robbery?
Robbery? What robbery?
That's it, K.P. Got all my notes here. No one else to see. Miss Muggins, Watt and Sid. What do we do now? Any ideas?
Nothing more we can do, old man. The case is solved.
It is? How'd you make that out?
Piece of pudding, old chap. All the clues are there, right in front of your nose. Sit down, and I'll explain.
Brilliant you are, Guy. Just brilliant.
Right, Julia, who do you think did it?
Well, Well, it could be Sid the chauffeur, because he didn't really have an alibi. But there again, that maid sounds a bit suspicious.
No, the butler did it. I mean, the butlers always do it.
Have you worked it out? Let us know if you have, by next weekend, please, and we'll give you the address at the end of the programme.
On our first two winners, we'll also get detective kits as prizes.
Oh, great stuff. I think it's time for a change of pace now. Let's have some nice, gentle music. I'm sure you recognise that music. It's Walking in the Air from the Snowman story. Well, unfortunately, I wasn't able to meet the snowman, but I did go down to London to meet the author of the Snowman story, our very first Cat's Whiskers birthday guest, Raymond Briggs. Hello, Raymond.
Hello.
Delighted to meet you. Your birthday is coming up very shortly, on the 18th. You're going to dare tell us how old you're going to be?
Yes, 55, I'm afraid, yeah.
Oh.
Born 1934, in time for the war. Just too young to be in the war.
But have you got lots of childhood memories?
Yes, mostly of things like evacuation and the war. I'm rather obsessed with the 1940s, actually. I want to try and do a book about the whole thing. There's rather a lot of war things coming out at the moment, but I would like to do that if I can.
So that's your next project, perhaps?
Might be.
Let's have a little think about some of the books you've already written. I mean, obviously, you've written for children and for adults. What about the characters? Is the snowman your favourite, perhaps? Or maybe it's Fungus the Bogeyman or your lovely Father Christmas?
No, I like When the Wind Blows best, actually, because it went into other media. It was a radio play, which I'm very keen on, and it went on the stage and a film, of course, so that was the most interesting one, I think.
And what about the little boy in the snowman? Was he you, perhaps, or somebody you knew?
I think you don't know anyone else as well as you know yourself, and so you tend to use yourself, so I suppose that's basically me, really.
And then going back, perhaps, to London, then, were you about that age in the war, and were you evacuated?
Yes, I was evacuated to Dorset in the war. It's a nice little stone cottage with two old aunties in it. Had a very cosy war compared with other people who were sent to schools.
And did you spend any birthdays there?
Oh, yes. There was one good birthday when my parents came down to see me. It was the first time, I think, and feeling rather miserable and homesick as I was. And I don't remember the presents or anything. It was just so fantastic when coming.
Wonderful birthday gift. What about rotten birthdays? And there's always one, isn't there, when you get the present you definitely don't want.
Yes, I remember a rotten one was when I felt sorry for my father, really, because I'd been wanting a posh sheath knife for a long time, when I was about 10, I think. And he promised to get it and leave it on the table for when I came in. And I was telling the other boys at school I was going to have this marvellous knife when I got home. And when I got home, there was this rather cheap-looking sort of kitchen knife thing. I was going to take it and show them, but I daren't take this thing in. It was so awful.
Did you actually dare say anything to your father about it?
No. Well, he wasn't very rich, so I couldn't sort of say it wasn't expensive enough, you know.
Mm. What about when you're actually writing? Do you need anything special? I mean, do you have to play music or drink lots of cups of coffee or ride in the bath or something?
The worst thing I find is getting started. You go through all sorts of routines before you can start, fiddling about your nails and whatnot. It's rather disgusting. So it's just a way of putting off the act of starting, you know.
And what about the actual pictures you do? Because, I mean, the snowman itself is all drawing. Are you an artist, really, before you're a writer?
Yes, really. I'm more interested in writing because I've been an illustrator for 30 years and I'm getting rather tired of it and would like to do more writing, actually. That's why I keep trying to do these radio plays and film scripts and things, none of which are any good.
Oh,
so,
don't say that.
No, they're not. So I've just got to stick to illustrating and go back to that, I think.
Because your characters are really sort of, you know that they're yours, because they've got those sort of sticking out chins and little tiny eyes. Where did all that come from?
Me, probably. Awful self-portraits, I usually are.
Self-portraits?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, you haven't got a stick out chin and beady eyes.
Well, I did one called Unlucky Wally last year, and the sequel to that's coming out next year, and that's all a self-portrait, really.
Mm. What about the snowman as a story? Did you write that for any particular reason?
Yes, I wrote it to get away from Fungus. I'd done 2 years of Fungus the Bogeyman, which was all full of slime and muck and words, lots and lots of words.
Mm.
And I wanted to do something that was simpler, quicker, clean, nice, as opposed to nasty.
But it's quite sad, though, the snowman, isn't it?
Well, all the things I do are sad, I'm told.
Oh, dear. So, I was sad, but you're not going to be sad on your birthday on Wednesday, are
you?
Yeah,
I expect so. I expect I'll try and cheer up.
Well, have you got any plans? What are you going to do?
I haven't planned it. My friends plan my birthdays for me, so that's quite nice.
Much
people do
way, yes.
Surprise things, which is quite good.
Well, as long as you get a birthday cake, you've got to blow 55 candles out all in one go. You better start practising. Well, Raymond, thank you very much indeed. It's been lovely having you as our first Cat's Whiskers birthday guest. Let me wish you a very happy birthday for Wednesday. But before we go, can we play you some special music for your birthday?
Oh, yes, it's the Bonzo Dog Band playing this funny thing called Intro Outro, I think it's called.
Dare I ask you why you want it?
Well, it's just terribly funny.
And you, after all, like comedy, don't you?
Yes, I do, very much. Yes.
Well, thanks very much, Raymond. Have a good time on Wednesday.
Thank you.
Hi there, nice to be with you. Happy you could stick around. Like to introduce Legs Larry Smith, drums. And Sam Spoons, rhythm pole. And Vern Dudley Bohay Noel, bass guitar. And Neil Innes, piano. Hi, Vivian Stanchel, trumpet. Big hello to Big John Wayne, xylophone. And Robert Morley, guitar. Lord Snooty and his pals, tap dancing. In the groove with Harold Wilson, violin. Franklin McCormack on harmonica.
And Cat's Whiskers club members who also have a birthday this week are James Helm, Benjamin Perkins, William Baker and Simon Greaves.
Happy birthday also David Lilburn, Elizabeth Adams, Daniel Morell and Claire Hams.
And it's happy birthday too to Louise Reynolds, Thomas Morton, Alice Lawler and Barnaby Hutchins.
It's birthday time Alexander Turner, George Richards, Layla Stralga and Gemma Wilkinson.
And a birthday mention for club members Kathy Morton, Elizabeth Wigg, Edward Ray Allison and Rachel Holly.
Birthday wishes to Flora Elwes, Charlotte Dawes, Nicholas Henry and Kevin Wilkinson.
And finally, the twins, Henry and Sydney Florence. A big happy birthday to you all.
Really wild, General. Thank you, sir. Roy Rogers on Trigger. Tune in Wild Man of Borneo on Bongos.
That's brilliant, Mathis. Now, talking about anniversaries, 1989 is the 50th anniversary of the outbreak of the Second World War. So it was quite a coincidence that Raymond Briggs started to talk about his experiences as an evacuee.
Yes, because for a lot of the city children who were evacuated, it was the first time they'd ever been to the country.
And the first time they were separated from their family and friends. You can hear what happened to three London children when they were evacuated in our serial, When the Siren Wailed.
You might recognise those sounds. It's a bombing raid, and that's the air raid warning siren used during the last war. Whenever I hear it, even now, it sends a cold shiver down my spine. Although the first time I heard it, I was only 9 years old. My brother Andy was 7, and our little Tim was 5. I suppose we were what you might call blitz kids. But first let me put you in the picture. In those days, we lived in a 2-up, 2-down in South London. That's 2 little bedrooms upstairs, a tiny front parlour and a kitchen downstairs, an outside toilet and no water laid on. So my mum had to pump rainwater from a butt in the backyard. And that backyard, which wasn't hardly big enough to swing a cat in, that was where we kids used to play.
Right, kids, inside, at the double. You too, Mum. Air raid drill.
Oh, come on, Dad. Oh, give us another minute, please, Dad.
Well, you wouldn't get another minute if old Hitler decides to pay us a visit.
Come on, kids, Dad's right.
I'm only doing what it says in the leaflet, preparing you for the worst. Come on, grab your gas masks and look sharp.
Oh, no.
But why, Dad?
Yeah, why?
Because as I keep telling you, if them Germans do declare war, they'll be over here with their planes, won't they?
Yeah, dropping all sorts on us, no doubt.
What, licorice?
Oh, no. Gobstoppers, you cheeky little brat. Now, just get your head down under this table.
And put that gas mask on, Laura.
Oh, no.
Yes,
and you
do.
Don't argue with your mum. If they drop bombs on us with gas in them, then you won't be able to breathe, will you?
Well, but I can't breathe properly in this thing anyway.
Yeah. Put it on properly, Laura.
I hated them gas masks. All made of black rubber with round metal noses like a Guy Fawkes mask, only more ugly. And for little kids like our Tim, they had this Mickey Mouse one, which I thought looked even worse.
Hey, what are you laughing at, Dad?
I bet we look a right sight, little, and all squatting under this kitchen table. Five buttons sticking out one side, and your Mickey Mouse fin dog out the other.
It's true, and that's what we were supposed to do if ever there was a sudden air raid, which is why my dad knew, even though he joked about it, that if the Germans ever did come over and drop a bomb on us, we wouldn't stand a chance.
This is the 6 o'clock news. The government has decided to evacuate tomorrow school children and other priority classes from London and from other areas regarded as vulnerable in air raids. It is emphasized that this decision does not mean that war is regarded as inevitable. The evacuation will involve 3 million people, half of them school children. Later in this news, we should be broadcasting.
After Andy and Tim had gone to sleep, I slipped out of our bedroom and crept down to the bottom of the stairs to overhear what Mum and Dad had to say about the news on the wireless.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad, but I can't bear to let them go.
Now, love, oh, give over. I keep telling you, you go too.
Oh, I can't.
They say mothers with children under 5 are allowed. Oh, and Tim's just turned 5.
Oh, Nobby, if you think I'm leaving you here alone, you've got another thing coming.
But I've told you, if it does happen, it's me for the Navy anyway.
And I've told you, if you go into the Navy, I'm still staying. This house may not be much, but it's all we've got.
Oh, no.
Someone's got to look after it. So when it's all over, you've got somewhere to come home to.
It was then I knew just how serious this was and exactly what this evacuation business was going to mean. Friday, September the 1st, 1939. Oh, I can remember it like it was yesterday. There were thousands of us kids milling about that station.
Come on, you lot, pick your bags up, kids. Evacuation specials, that's you.
And you're the eldest, so you keep an eye on these two.
Get off, I don't need looking after.
Hey, Andy, you do as you're told.
Come on, Tim.
What do I have to wear a label? I'm not a parcel.
I know you're not a parcel, but you've got to go.
Then when we got to the barrier and the kids in front of us started to move onto the platform, my dad reached into his coat pocket and gave each of us a present.
Kids,
teddy bear for Andy, a Donald Duck toy for Tim, and a tiny doll for me. And before we knew where we were bustled onto that train with hardly a chance to look back. But I did manage to find a window just as the train was moving off.
And don't forget, Laura, post your new address when you get there.
I will. Bye, kids. Bye.
Tell you the truth, I don't remember much about that journey except that it was long and we kept stopping at all stations.
Where are we going?
Oh, I don't know, Andy. Any more than you.
I've had enough now. I want to go home.
And there were two grown-ups in charge of our carriage who gave us a sandwich and a cup of milk each. I wasn't hungry, so I gave mine to Andy.
Oh, Laura, I feel sick now.
Yeah, so do I. And I want to go loving.
Oh, kids.
Thank goodness, after about an hour or so, they both fell asleep. I think I must have as well. Because the next thing I knew, it was our turn to get off.
Right, come along, you children, out you get. No time to waste. And I want you all lined up in front of me along the platform.
You know, I don't like the look of her.
Nor do I.
Shh, both of you.
Well, I mean, she's got a face worse than more gas moths.
Silence, please. My name is Miss Justworthy, and I'm here to welcome you to Charnbury in the county of Dorset. I will now read out the names of all you children, and as I call your name out, I want you to put your hand up and answer, here. And then with your gas masks over your shoulder, I want you to wait over there to collect your luggage. Mary Johnson. Johnny Gray.
And sure enough, as she read all the names out, each child put their hands up and scuttled off until there were only us three left.
Andrew Clark.
Here.
And Timothy Clark.
Oh, go on, Tim, that's you.
But then I realised the lady had finished her list, no mention of me. Oh, my stomach just turned over inside.
Well, go along, you two boys, collect your bags. You're the last.
But what about our Laura?
Yeah. I beg your pardon?
Me and Tim aren't going anywhere without our Laura.
Yeah. You do as you're told, young man. Who is this Laura, anyway?
Our sister.
No mention of Laura Clark here. I was told to expect 45 children, and you boys are number 44 and 45. And that's all I have hope for. We certainly have no place for a Laura Clark.
You can imagine what a sight I must have been. Stood on that platform, miles away from home, and all on my own. And if you want to find out what became of me and what became of all of us, you better listen out for the next episode of When the Siren Wailed.
Surely they're not going to leave Laura on her own.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Anyway, we'll find out in next week's programme.
And that's when I'll also be interviewing our second birthday guest. I won't tell you who it is, but it's somebody who makes people laugh, and I certainly find him funny.
And also next Sunday, we'll be joined by two poets, Michael Rosen and Benjamin Zephaniah. They're going to help us to launch our great new competition with a prize of tickets to a top London musical.
Oh, I've seen that. It's terrific.
Hey, don't say anything. We'll save that for next week. Tell you what, though, tell us about the club.
Well, as you probably know, we've got a special Cat's Whiskers Club. If you want to join, you must be 12 or under, and here's what you've got to do. Send us your name and address, your date of birth, a parent or guardian's signature, and a £2 cheque or postal order made payable to the Cat's Whiskers Club. That's to cover a year's membership. And our address is Cat's Whiskers, BBC, PO Box 40, Manchester, M60, 1FR.
And that address is for the Who Done It competition, as well as anything else that you'd like to send us. I'll just give you the address again. Cat's Whiskers, BBC, PO Box 40, Manchester, M60, 1FR.
And that's all from us this week.
And we'll be back next Sunday in the Cat's Whiskers studio.
So join us at 6:30 p.m.
Goodbye until then.
Goodbye.
Whiskers was presented by Julie First and Adrian Morehouse. The Spanchester Mistress are by Lee Pressman. When the Siren Wailed by Noel Stretfield was adapted by Richard Pinner. The researcher was Liz Roberts, and Cat's Whiskers was produced in Manchester by Mary Callum-Carrion.